ओम शांति, ओम शांति। सो आई एम श्योर बाबा'स चिल्ड्रन नो अबाउट कर्मा फिलोसॉफी वेरी वेल। इन एवरी मुरली बाबा स्पीक्स अबाउट कर्मा फिलोसॉफी एंड इन भारत दे lay a lot of emphasis on karma philosophy, and that is why we are able to understand that there is reincarnation, rebirth, because they say that when a person dies he takes his karma with him, the soul takes the karma it did in its lifetime in the form of sanskars, and these sanskars accompany the soul. And when a child is born, they say the child has brought its fortune. So the karma in the past birth becomes the basis for the fortune or misfortune for the child who takes a new birth. And this is karma philosophy. So what is karma philosophy? I have tried to put them in these slides, which I am sure you will enjoy. So karma philosophy, to be understood well, for it we need to understand the meaning of karma. So what is karma? Karma is, this word karma is actually a Sanskrit word, which literally means any work you do. It's a verb, you know, sitting, eating, drinking, sleeping, waking. We say these words, walking, talking, hearing, speaking, all these are verbs, and we can say that that verb is karma. Whatever we do, that is karma. So it's work. But if you want to use a higher word, you can say action or a deed. Anything you do is karma. But if you want to understand karma in a wider context, then it is not just doing something, but it also means an action that has consequences. What we say, action and reaction. So it's not just an action, but it's also a reaction, because no action goes into vain. Every action has a reaction, whatever type of action it may be, whether it is a sinful action, an impure action, a good action, whatever you do. But it has an impact. Depends on what type of action it is. And when it is done, in what situation it is done, why it is done. And because of this, they say it is very difficult to understand karma philosophy. Because situation is different. For example, I can give you, killing is a sin. You can't kill anybody. No one has a right to kill anyone. But then the soldier who is in a battlefield or who is at the border of the country, he has to protect his country. And if he has to protect his country, he has to save it from enemies. And if the enemy is attacking, he has every right to kill that enemy. So definitely it's not a sin. But you may say, well, killing is a sin. But yes, that one killing, maybe it's a sin, but then you are protecting 1 billion people of your country, or how many people in your country. So the blessings you get from that, those 1 billion people, is much more than just the killing. You kill a terrorist because of his wrong actions. But then the blessing you receive is multi-million fold. So that is not considered to be a sin. So we can understand karma in this way. Somebody may be speaking lies, but he is speaking lies to protect a good person. So that is not really a sin because he is protecting a person. And somebody is speaking the truth, but it is for a harmful action, for something which will cause harm. Now that is definitely, even if he is speaking the truth, it is going to be a sin. We give a small example, you know, in India we give this example that somebody is standing, on a footpath, and there are three ways there, three roads passing through that place where he is standing, and a cow comes running. She's actually wanting to save her life because there's a butcher running after that cow, and that butcher wants to kill the cow. And that person watched very well where the cow went. There are three roads, so which side the cow went, that person knows. But when a butcher comes, he asks that person, which side did the cow go? Now if he says this side, that means that butcher will go and kill that cow. Now killing a cow in India is considered to be a very big sinful act. And if he speaks lies, then it's a sin. If he speaks the truth, well, it's not considered to be a sin. But then the reaction of that, if he speaks the truth, that person will go, the butcher will go on that side and he will kill the cow. So he will speak lies. He will say, no, it went this side, so that cow is saved. Or even if he says, I don't know, and although he knows, but still he says, I don't know, then definitely it's a lie because he knows it. He may be neutral, but it is a lie. But here speaking the truth will make him a sinful person. It will create a sin. But speaking a lie will not be a sin because he has protected that cow. You know, that's an example we give. So just speaking lies is a sin, they say. Stealing is a sin. Killing is a sin. But in some situations, speaking the truth may also be a sin. So how to differentiate? How to decide what is a sin and what is not a sin? And actually, Baba says, if you go to the depth of Gyan, Baba says, to be body conscious is also a sin. I, we say all the time in a body conscious way. Baba says, you are not a body. You're not the body. You are a soul. So if you are not soul conscious and you are body conscious, even that's a lie because that's not you. You are a soul. So if you say, I, Mr. So-and-so, I, so-and-so, I, so as many times you say, I in body consciousness, you are committing a sin. Because it's a lie. So in this way, body consciousness also leads to a sin. If you say, somebody may say, stealing is a sin, but even what you possess, you say, this is mine. And actually, even this is wrong, this is false, because it's not yours. When you came in this world, you did not bring anything with you, your house, your property, your land, your money, whatever. You didn't have it when you came into this world. You just came empty-handed. But you say, mine. So as many times you say, my, it's a sin. It is stealing because you are stealing from nature, which is not really yours. And then we also say whatever I have is given by God. So if it is given by God, how can you claim it to be yours? It is God's, not yours. So as many times we say, mine, 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 it is stealing. Even that's a sin. So we can say that what is a sin, what is a virtue, what is the basis of all that? Somebody kills. But then what we are really doing is when we, our minds thinks of something else, our intellect decides something else, and there's a big tussle inside the mind and between the mind and intellect. And that leads to so much stress, you know, because the mind is saying something else, intellect is saying no, 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 and mind is saying yes, yes, yes. So that tussle, that quarrel, you know, it is like killing the soul. The soul becomes so weak because inside there's a struggle, there is a, you know, stress inside. So that is killing one's own soul. You may not be killing somebody, but you are killing your own soul. Even that's a sin. And that leads to stress. So you are reaping the fruit of that, killing the soul, you know, a sin. And that's why you experience sorrow after that, because inside your mind and intellect there is a big quarrel, a big struggle. And this way is like killing someone. So you are killing your own soul. You know, when we do something wrong, we feel so guilty within, because the soul in its original nature is so pure, and we do something which is impure, so I feel guilty conscious. So guilty feeling is also a sign of experiencing sorrow, which is because of that sin I committed of not listening to the intellect but accepting what the mind says. And the mind is under the influence of senses. Wherever the senses take the mind goes there. It is pulled by the senses, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste. The mind is diverted there. All these vices are based on that only. What is lust? Sex lust, if you think of. Lust, it is an attraction towards the skin, no? What is lust? Sex lust. It is attraction towards the skin. And the smallest part of that, the lightest part of skin attraction, is when you go to a museum and you are watching that museum and there are many, you know, models there, many things there. And it is written, please don't touch. Please don't touch. But how many people still touch even after reading that? Please don't touch. They still touch. Why do you touch? You're not going to take it. You're not going to buy it. You're not going to steal it. You're just watching. That's all. You go to a museum. But still you want to touch. That attraction of touching is the minutest form of sex lust, of lust. What is anger? How do you express anger? So like lust is through skin, attraction of skin. Anger is eyes. You know, anger is visible from the eyes first, before anger comes into words. It is eyes. So we say he is angry now. Even if he is not saying anything, but he is staring with that anger. So anger comes through eyes. So if I'm staring at somebody, trying to frighten that person, that means a subtle form of anger, which I may not say in words, but then I'm showing that I'm angry. Then greed is the attraction towards taste. I want to eat this, like Baba said today. In Hindi, there is a saying, you know, Sindhi language, Baba used to say. They say in Hindi, it's rhyming words, khau, 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 I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat, khau, khau. So this Baba would say, khau, khau, tere pet mein balau. Balau means, you know, insects in your stomach. So what these insects do, they eat up the food you eat. And they are hungry, so they eat up, and then you're always feeling hungry because you have germs in your stomach or insects or whatever in your stomach, and they are eating up your food. So you're always hungry and you want to eat every time. You see anything, just put in your mouth. Just eat. See anything, just put in your mouth. Without thinking of anything else, whether who cooked it and what is in it, you don't see. And that is what Baba says, greed. So taste. The taste buds are only up to the tongue, that's all. Taste buds are not inside your esophagus or stomach or intestine, no. They don't experience any taste, but then taste buds. That's why taste is very much in part of attraction. So that is greed. And attachment is nose. When you're attached to somebody, you want to smell that person or that animal, you know, attached to your dog, attached to your cat. What do? You just want to smell that cat all the time, smell that dog all the time. So it's attachment. And Baba says, just see it from far. Now, why do you have to go so close? Why do you have to just hug and this and that? Not necessary. Be detached. And loving, that is the best way. That's what yogis do. Otherwise it is attachment. And ego. Ego is ears. If somebody speaks ill of me, immediately I get so angry. I feel insulted because my ears have heard it. So ears, my ears are raised. How dare he say that about me? What does he think of himself? So ego works there. And therefore, Baba says, karma means an action, but also its consequence, its result, reaction. Now, karmic theory could be understood as Newton's third law of motion. You must have seen in the art gallery, there is this little toy. There are five balls, and you just hold one ball and try to kick, you know, the other balls, and that the force which you use to throw that ball on the other balls, that same force will go to the last ball. And that last ball will come out with that same force and then come back to the second last ball with the same force. And that will go back with the same force to the first ball. So this is, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reactions. This is Newton's third law of motion. So we understand this, that whatever you do, you get back. And to understand this further, we can say karma means the law of cause and effect. There can be no effect without a cause. And every cause will definitely lead to an effect, although it may be temporary. It may be not lasting. For example, I hold a finger and I just draw a line in the air. A line is drawn in the air, no doubt, but you can't see it and immediately it vanishes. But a line did get drawn when you just took your finger and drew it in the air. But then it finishes. Now that same finger, if you put in water, it will form a line. But that, because that water is... it is a liquid. So the line will come maybe for 2 seconds and then again vanish. If it was in air, it was not even visible. But in water, it is visible, but then it vanishes. But that same finger, if you draw a line on sand, you go to the seashore and draw a line on that sand, it will last for a while, till someone comes and puts a foot on it, then it will disappear. So it will last longer. Air, water, then soil, soil, the mud. And then if you take something sharp and draw a line very hard on stone, that line will remain for many, many years. So action is the same, but reaction can be different because of on what you did that action. For example, you make a sound in somewhere in a desert area where there's nothing there, desert, complete desert, not many trees also, nothing, and you just shout loudly, you won't be able to hear your own voice because it's not coming back, that action, the reaction is not coming back. But if you make a sound in a dome, immediately that sound will make echo, 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 and you'll be able to hear the sound again and again and again. So action is the same, but the reaction's intensity is different. Now that's how we understand the law of cause and effect. So karma is a term that basically means what goes around comes around. It'll come back to you. That is, you get what you give. So you get what you give, and that means as you sow, so shall you reap. This is a simple principle of karma. What you give, that you get back. And therefore, if you don't want to get back something, then don't give it. What you don't want for yourself, don't give to anybody else. But what we do, we get angry, upset, you know what not. But you don't want somebody else to be upset with me. So, but be sure what you give, that you will get back. So don't give what you don't want it back. And then we understand karma philosophy in these words. Do unto others what you want others to do unto you. What you don't want others to do unto you, you don't do it yourself. You don't want somebody else to get angry with you, then why do you get angry with somebody else? So what you don't like for yourself, you also should not do it to others, because even they won't like it. So karma philosophy will, in a wider context, means our actions are the cause that produce proper effects at proper times. It may not be immediate. The effect may not be immediate, but the effect will be there definitely, which you may not know at that moment. So this is the eternal and universal law of karma. So to understand law of karma, three important principles of sowing and reaping. One is, the first is, you reap what you sow. You will get back only what you have sown. Whatever seed you have sown, if you have sown a mango seed, you will get a mango fruit. If you have sown an orange tree, orange seed, then you get an orange. So it's up to what you sow that you reap. But then the second principle of sowing and reaping is, you reap much more than you sow. It's not necessary that you sow only that much as you sow. You reap only that much. No, if you sow one seed, you get so many fruits. So many fruits. It's not that you get only one fruit. You cut a fruit, for example, you cut an apple, you will get a few seeds in that apple, 4 or 5 seeds in an apple. You can count. But if you sow that apple seed, how many apples you are going to get, can you know immediately? Because you'll get it every season. So many mangoes, apples every season. But you have sown only one seed. So you reap much more than you sow. And the third principle is, you reap at a different time than you sow. You don't reap immediately. Some seeds give very quick fruit or result. But some seeds give the fruit very late, very late. You know, we used to say for mango seed earlier, there was a saying, now not, because now it is like hybrids. So even small trees give fruits. But before, no. So they used to say for mango seed, that if a grandfather sows a mango seed, he will not be able to get a mango fruit in his lifetime. Only his grandson would get it in his life, in grandson's lifetime, grandfather's lifetime, he would not be able to reap the fruit. So grandfather sows and grandson reaps. That was a saying once upon a time for mango. But still it is in the season, it's not whole year round. But some seeds, when they start reaping, giving fruit, they give fruit whole year round. For example, this thing, coconut tree. A coconut tree gives coconut all year round, although only one seed sown, but after so many years, they say 10 years, you know, then the fruit starts coming, but it comes whole year. So seed sown once and after 10 years you get the fruit. And somebody else may eat that fruit, although you have sown. But for karma, it's not like that. What you sow, that only you will reap, nobody else. And maybe not in this birth, maybe even after 7 births, you can reap. Somebody did not commit, did not kill anyone, but still he is caught and he is given life imprisonment, although he did not kill anyone. And it may be the other way around. Somebody did kill, but he was not caught. And somebody was not caught and still he was punished. So maybe he did not kill in that birth, but he must have killed in some other birth, past birth. And that now he is reaping for that. So that's why karma philosophy is very difficult to understand. You may not reap in that birth also. I remember in one Murli, Baba said that somebody slaps you. Now never slap him back. Don't slap him back. Maybe you had slapped him in some other past birth. You have slapped him in your past birth and now he is slapping you back. It means it's a return of your seed which you sowed. So don't slap him back, because again you will be slapped in some other birth. She slapped me. What does she think of herself? But karma philosophy says maybe you had slapped her in some birth and now the return has come. So, but you don't react. Okay, slapped, so what? Somebody spoke ill words. Okay, you hear from one ear and take it out from the other ear. Don't react. He only said and those words flew in the air. But he didn't slap you. But even if he slapped you, you don't have to slap him back. But somebody will slap him and the other one will slap him and that one will slap him. And then one day that one will take a gun and kill him. Now what will be the reaction of that? He will also be killed one day by someone. And then we can say why he killed him. Maybe he had killed that person in some birth. So don't react. Don't react. Yes, don't take the law in your hand. You may complain, that's all. But don't take the law in your hand. So, karma philosophy is so deep to understand. So the first principle, what you sow, that you reap. Mango seed, then mango fruits. If you sow a thorn, you will reap a thorn. If you sow happiness, you will reap happiness. If you sow sorrow, you will reap sorrow. Now some people question that I give happiness to that person, I never give sorrow to him, but he gives me sorrow. Now what is the answer to that? That person gives you sorrow, although you have not given him sorrow. So maybe not in this birth you gave him sorrow, but in some other birth you gave him. That is why he is giving you sorrow. But if you give him sorrow because he gave you sorrow, then it can be recurring with you and you can get sorrow for many births. So don't give sorrow. Even if he gave you sorrow, doesn't matter. Okay, where did it hurt me? Why did you take sorrow? Nobody can forcibly give you anything which you don't want. Nobody can give you sorrow. If you don't want to take it, you take it and then you say, why he gave me? Why did you take it? It's your fault, no? Why did you take? You could have just avoided, that's all. So that is why Baba is saying that whatever you give, that you get back. So if you sow sorrow, you reap sorrow. Maybe not in this birth, but in another birth, you will definitely reap it. And if somebody is giving sorrow, it means you have given him in the past and now you accept it. You accept it in that way. But don't accept, it's up to you. You don't have to accept everything. So the second principle is you always reap much more than you sow. By planting one flower seed, many flowers are reaped. By planting one grain of wheat, many grains of wheat are reaped. So understand this. And the third principle is that you reap at a different time than you sow. So always remember that just because we don't see the result of our actions immediately, it doesn't mean that we won't reap its fruit. We will reap it at its right time. So don't do any wrong action at all. So that is what we learn from karma philosophy. So there's a journey from sowing to reaping, and that needs a lot of care. What we are sowing, how we are sowing, when we are sowing. So what, when, how, all this is very important to understand when we sow a seed. If you sow a seed when it is not the season for that, will you be able to get the fruit properly? No. So it's a journey from sowing to reaping, and that requires care. For example, you have to plow the field before you sow the seed. If you just sow the seed in barren land, that seed will not give you fruit. Somebody who is not able to, not understanding what you are trying to say, and you are trying and trying to make him understand, but he doesn't want to understand. So Baba says in the Murlis, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Because he's not going to understand. Baba said in today's Murli also, if he's not part of the deity religion, he will not understand this knowledge. So don't force him to understand. He will not, because he's not in the deity religion. So because the field is not plowed and you're just trying to sow the seed, how will you get the fruit? He must belong to the deity religion to understand this knowledge. He should have done a lot of bhakti to understand this knowledge. That is why. So plowing the field is necessary before we sow the seed. And then we sow the seed, and we don't sow the seed and we say, I need a fruit. How can I get the fruit? I have to sow the seed first. Okay, even after I've sown the seed, I need to water the seed. You don't water and you just sow the seed and say, I've sown the seed. So you give happiness to somebody, but just once is not enough. You have to keep giving happiness. But once if you give sorrow, then all that happiness which you gave him before is finished. Because you didn't water the seed. Then, okay, after watering the seed, you have to protect the new leaves. Make sure that the new leaves are not eaten up by insects or animals or birds or whatever. Because only then you will get the tree. Therefore, you have to put a fence around, no, so that it's protected. So when you give happiness, make sure the intellect of that person understands that you have given him happiness. You have done something for him. He should consider it to be a privilege that you have done something for him. Not that, of course he has to do it, it is a duty. No, it's a privilege, you should thank him. But we don't thank, he must do it, he is supposed to do this for me. Father, you tell your father, I want this, and the father is not able to provide. But he does get it from somewhere and provides you. You don't even thank him. You think it is my right. Before accepting the right, you also have to have some responsibilities. Don't say my right without understanding your responsibilities. That's what it is said. Rights and responsibilities go together. A Otherwise, only rights, then you are creating karma with that person. Yeah, then you'll have to pay back one day. So, protecting new leaves, allowing fruit to ripen. Now, once the fruit comes on the tree, don't pluck it, you know, raw, because it will be no use eating raw fruit. Raw fruit is bitter, raw fruit is hard, raw fruit will not really give you any result. So you have to wait for the fruit to ripen. And once it's ripened, then eat it and share with others. Now there is, for example, I have lots of wealth. This is the fruit I have received. But what am I supposed to do with this fruit? Not just keep it with me. I have to share it. Baba said today, no, donate, give. If I'm just keeping it in the bank, one day the government will take away all the money. Or thieves will steal away. You don't know. So use that. Use it. And the more you use it, the more you will get. It's for everything. You know, in India, I don't know if it's in the West, but in India, supposing a child is not eating fruit. No, he doesn't like fruit. So they say that make him donate fruit. Because if he donates something which he doesn't like, of course he can afford. He has so much at home, but still doesn't like. You know, many children don't like milk. They don't like, you know. But it means he has not donated it. So make him donate that. So if he donates, then he will also start liking it. Then he will eat. Otherwise, he will not eat. That's a saying. So I'll eat the fruit and share with others. If you don't share with others, your fruit will become, you know, it will rotten. Because fruit cannot last long. You have to share it, you know. And when you share it, be happy yourself and make others happy. Share that fruit. So these are the conditions for really eating the fruit. So thoughts lead to destiny, and which is the real seed? They are not just actions. We have to go deeper than actions. It's our thoughts. Because thoughts will lead to actions. But before they lead to actions, other things also come in between. Your thoughts will lead you to your attitude. Your attitude will lead you to your feelings. Your feelings will lead you to your words you speak. Your words will then lead you to your actions, and actions will lead you to your habits, and habits will lead you to your personality, and that will lead you to your destiny. So what type of destiny do you want? If you want a good destiny, then you must have good thoughts, because only then that will lead to good karma. You know, some people say something which they should not have said, and then they'll say, I'm so sorry, I did not mean it. What do you mean by saying I didn't mean it? How did you say otherwise if you didn't mean it? It means in your mind there was something else, but in words you didn't want to say it. But make sure, be sure that if you have it in your mind, one day you will definitely speak it out. You will not. It's not giving an excuse that I didn't really mean it. What it has no meaning that you didn't mean it. You did mean it. Otherwise, you would not have said it. And therefore, pay attention to all this. So there's a saying, you know, watch your thoughts, for they become words. The words you don't want to speak, don't even think about them. So watch your words, for they will become actions. So the actions you don't want to do, don't even speak about them. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. If you don't want to create any habit, don't even do one action of that. Don't do it even once if you don't want to form a habit. Watch your habits, for they become your personality. And watch your personality, for that will form your destiny. So thoughts lead to destiny. Therefore, watch at every step what you are doing. So every person is responsible for his actions. His karma also is his own responsibility. It is again very important to understand. So every person is responsible for his actions. You cannot blame somebody else for your actions. That's why Baba says, no, you point out a finger because of you said this, this is why I said it. It's a blame game. People in this world play a lot of blame game. They blame others for their own actions. Well, you are responsible for your actions. Don't blame anybody else for your actions. If I get angry, I can't blame the other one. You got angry with me, this is why I got angry with you. Okay, he got angry, his karma. Why do you get angry? It's up to you. No, to get angry or not angry is in your hands. You can't blame somebody else for your anger, can you? If you don't want to get angry, nobody can force you to be angry. So every person is responsible for his actions. So his karma also is his own responsibility. And then actions are the ground upon which we stand. This world is called karma kshetra, the land, the field of action. So this world is a field of action. You know, many people say, why did God send us into this world? Why did God create this world? Why did God send us into this world? Well, first of all, God has not created this world. This is eternal. So for no question, why God? You can't say why God created, because he hasn't created. And secondly, this world is a field of action. And every soul has this sanskar of coming into action. You know, like if there's an actor loves to act. And to act, he needs a stage. A dancer who has a skill of dancing, she wants to dance, you know, he wants to dance. So every time he's looking for some stage where he can dance, because that's his art. So performing actions, karma is also an art. And every soul wants to perform that. For that it needs a field of action, a stage. So this world is a stage. And then to perform those actions or to play its part, it needs that particular costume. So the body is a costume. The soul never dies. It's the costume which he changes, that's all. So every actor, he may play different roles with different bodies, you know, which are his costume. But his identity does not get lost. If somebody has a role of a doctor in the next film or maybe drama, he has a role of a magician, a third role, third drama, he has a role of a cobbler, whatever. So these are different roles, that's all. But identity does not change, he's the same actor. So soul is the same, but then it wears so many costumes, it plays so many roles. So this is understanding karma philosophy. So actions are the ground upon which we stand. Our actions are our only true belongings, that's all. We take nothing with us, we brought nothing with us. So some people do say that we brought nothing, we take nothing. But it's not so simple as that. We take our karma with us. But those who don't understand the soul, they won't even understand this. And the poor child is born, he brings his, whatever he has done in his past life, he brings his destiny with him. And therefore, our actions are the ground upon which we stand. Our actions are our only true belongings. No one can escape the consequences of his actions. He will definitely have to reap for his actions. No one can accept, And now understanding karma, some people, they are afraid of karma philosophy because they know that what they sow, they will reap that. And some people love karma philosophy. So karma, they take it, they are afraid of karma philosophy. So that is fear-based karma and love-based karma. You should not fear karma. You should not fear the consequences of your actions. You should love it. But how will you love it and why do you fear it? So fear-based is you reap what you sow, that is understood. Karma is the consequences, both good and bad, that are brought to you based on your actions, good or bad. You are judged by your actions. And therefore, do good actions. This is what karma philosophy teaches us. So it's a love-based understanding for karma. Karma is a gift that brings you lessons for your soul's personal growth. You know very well about karma that what you sow, that you will reap. So sow only good, don't sow anything bad for which you will reap. So, and will continue to bring these lessons back around until you have learnt them. So learn from karma philosophy that don't do anything wrong, anything bad, anything sinful. So understand karma instead of fearing karma. And love it. So how people treat you is their karma. If someone spoke ill of you or got angry with you, okay, his karma. And he will reap for it. But how you react is your karma. You know, somebody will say, okay, he got angry, but why did you get angry with him? You are so sensible. He was senseless. You walk on the street and you find an insane person, a mad person. He's just drunk and he's walking on the road and he starts saying ill words to you, bad words to you. But you know he's drunk. You know that he's insane. Now you won't say ill words back to him, will you? He's senseless, but you also become senseless by saying bad words to him. So we don't have to become senseless and react in that way in front of a senseless person. We have to be sensible and think, poor thing, you feel sorry for that person. No, you feel sorry for that person. You don't hate him. Oh, why did he say this to me? But you feel sorry, poor thing. Forget it. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. So we have to feel sorry for those people who are doing some wrong actions, not hate them. You know, that is why the Bible too is written, hate not his sins, hate not the sinner, but hate his sins. Bible says it. Even in our Indian prisons, it is written there. In Hindi they say, paap se nafrat karo, paapi se nahi. Don't hate the sinner, because who knows why he's committed that sin? Who knows what his emotions were at that time? Because after he committed that sin, definitely he must have felt very guilty. He must have felt very guilty. And secondly, he committed that sin, but when he went home, you know, he did out of anger something wrong. But then when he went home, he starts loving his children. So love is his basic virtue, his innate quality. Not getting angry or killing somebody, that's not his innate quality. So we understand how people treat you is their karma, but how you react is your karma. And don't blame anybody else for your karma. So by understanding the law of karma, what happens? I make myself totally responsible for my life. You can't blame somebody else. He spoiled my life. He spoiled me. He. No, three fingers are towards me. Maybe fault of somebody for one fault, but three faults are mine because I did something which I should not have done. So I make myself totally responsible for my life when I'm understanding the law of karma. I don't blame anyone else. Instead, I develop tolerance, acceptance, and endurance. I become tolerant and experience inner peace and power. You know, somebody speaks bad words to me or not very appealing, I feel insulted. Whole day I'm crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. Okay, what will happen? Finished. That person said something, even forgot about it. But I accepted it and started feeling the sorrow. Whole day I'm crying. So who is affected? Not that person. Maybe later on, okay, but not at that moment. So why do I cry? So what is tolerance? Tolerance is not just, okay, listening, and just accommodating. No, take hurt from one ear, take it out from the other ear. That's all. And what you say, okay, some karmic account settled. Or you may say he was only playing a part, a role. He played that role. That was his role at this time in the drama. And therefore, I don't blame anybody else. Instead, I experience inner peace and power. But then some people say, oh, this karma philosophy is very bad. I don't want to perform karma. That's why, you know, some sannyasis, they just leave their home, leave their family, leave their responsibilities. And they call themselves karma sannyasis, who have renounced karma, because they don't cook, they don't have a family, they don't have any responsibilities. They say, we have renounced karma. But actually, I cannot renounce actions. One cannot become a karma sannyasi. And Baba says in the Gita also it is written, one cannot become a karma sannyasi, but he can become a karma yoga sannyasi. Karma yoga sannyasi. Karma means, karma yoga sannyasi means doing performing karma in God's remembrance and renouncing the vices, renouncing the the fruit of those actions, but doing it in a very altruistic way. That is called karma yoga sannyasi. But I only have to make my actions elevated. I don't have to renounce karma. So four types of attitude which lead to four types of actions. And the first attitude is devilish attitude. Mine is mine, yours is also mine. So by hook or by crook, I just snatch somebody else's rights. So mine is mine, yours is also mine. That is devilish attitude. Human attitude, mine is mine, yours is yours. Okay, I don't want yours, but I will not give mine. I don't want yours. You know, between brothers, when their property is distributed, they don't like it that way. So okay, you keep yours, I will keep mine. I will not give you mine and I don't want yours. So a wall is built in between, and brothers get separated and they don't want to see each other's face at all because of this property business. Nowadays so much is happening in this way because of property. So yours is yours, mine is mine. Or they say mine is mine, yours is also mine. The elder brother does not want to give that property, want to give to the younger brother, you know, so on. So much is happening in the world today. And that is why government has to make laws. Then the third is divine attitude. Divine attitude means mine is mine as well as yours. It is ours. We can use it in a mutual way. Why not? In the earlier days, nobody locked doors to their homes, because nobody would steal. Instead, if in one family, in one home, there was some shortage of something, they would go to the neighbor and say, can you give me something? And if there would be shortage in the neighbor's home, then he will come to the first one and say, can you give me something? You know, there used to be exchange. And they used to help each other. But now, the doors are shut. We don't even know our neighbors. Even if somebody dies in my neighbor's house, I won't even know because I've never met him. So it's like that. This is Kali Yuga, what we say. So divine attitude is mine is mine as well as yours. No, that's what we say in Baba's home. This is your home. Although you have not built this Gyan Sarovar, but you say this is our home. Because it is our Father's home, God's home. So God's home is our home. Because God is our Father. It's everyone's home. Baba's home is your home. But a yogi attitude will be even higher than this. What is yogi attitude? Nothing is mine. Everything is God's. My duty, my responsibility, my work. No, Baba's work. Each task here Each task is God's task, and therefore I'm doing God's task. And when it's God's task, I don't have to really say mine or mine, yours or one. Each task is a dignity. Even if I'm cleaning, washing clothes or sweeping the floor or washing utensils, it is God's work. I'm doing it in God's home, and therefore it's a dignity. It's not just distribution of work, it's a dignity of work in God's home. And therefore that's a yogi attitude. So four types of actions. Sinful actions means mine is mine, yours is also mine. And then the second is charitable actions. I am helping other people. Third action is elevated actions, altruistic work, without thinking of the reward. And fourth is neutral actions, because it's everyone's duty to do it. Now, what are these four types of actions? Sinful actions are based on negative thoughts of body consciousness resulting in vices. Therefore, Baba says, body consciousness is the root to all the vices. Which are the roots to all the sins? Any action committed under the influence of body consciousness leads to a sinful action. And the two doors to sinful actions are I and mine. I and mine. You know, somebody did a survey. We talk on telephone. Which word is commonly used in our dialogue, when we speak on a telephone? Which word? And that word is I. I am saying this. I am doing it. I. How many times during the whole day we use this word I? And if we are doing it in a body conscious way, definitely we are committing a sin. So I and mine, these two are the doorway to sinful actions. What are charitable actions? They are based on helping the needy in a physical way. You help someone. If you have something, help the other one. If someone comes and says, I'm hungry, okay, you can take a piece of bread and help that person. It's not that you will lose anything. Help him. So they are based on helping the needy in a physical way. These are charitable actions. We do a lot of donations, don't we? Blood donation, this donation, that donation, that donation. We do. So these are all charitable actions. And surrender your actions and their fruit to God and experience peace and power. After you have done something good, some charitable action, don't think of that action. In Hindi we say, neki kar darya mein dal. If you do something good, don't narrate it. Oh, I did this good, I did that one, I helped him. Okay, done, good, fine. Don't think of the fruit. Baba knows. Baba will give the result. I don't have to think about it. But if you do something wrong, don't hide it. If you do something good, no need to tell anyone. But if you do something wrong, which you should not have done, then tell the truth and ask for forgiveness. Don't hide it. Because if you hide it, one day it will be revealed, you know. So why hide it? And when you hide it, first of all, your habits will increase. Because nobody knew, so you'll do it again and again. And if you do again and again, you'll form a habit, and one day you will definitely be caught, because as you have formed a habit. And once a habit is formed, you will do it even unknowingly. Before you did it knowingly, nobody should watch. But later on, because nobody watched it, it became a habit in you. And you will do it even without knowing that somebody is watching you. And then you'll be caught. So why not say it and then finish that action so that you don't repeat it. So surrender your actions and their fruit to God and experience peace and power. So what are elevated actions? We say satkarma, pure karma, pious karma, which Baba teaches us. They are selfless actions performed with soul-conscious and God-conscious attitude. In a soul-conscious way, in Baba's remembrance, we are doing selfless actions, altruistic actions for the benefit of others. How much I will be benefited, I don't have to think at this time. Definitely I will be benefited. So these are elevated actions, and these elevated actions, what is the basis of them? How will you perform elevated actions? For that we need the soil of character in life. Character, very important. You need to have a good soil. So good character in life, only then you can perform elevated actions. Seed of elevated actions and manure of disciplines. You must be disciplined in life, then only you can do good actions. Climate of good sanskars. There you need to have to watch the climate before you sow a seed. So good sanskars are needed. Then water of God's remembrance. You have to water that seed. So Baba's remembrance is like watering the seed. An air of pure atmosphere. Why people go to a place where there is no pollution? They go to the mountains. They go to the seashore. Because no pollution there. They come in the cities, there are lots of pollution. So they avoid and go to the mountains and the sea. So because here also air of pure atmosphere. People go to temples, people go to churches. So pure atmosphere there. And sunlight of knowledge. You need knowledge, you know, because every seed needs sunlight also. Then fencing of positive thoughts. Come what may, I will not have negative thoughts. Baba said in yesterday, before yesterday's Avyakt Murli. Avoid negative thoughts and waste thoughts, because that will create, that will give an open way to impurities. So patience for fruit to ripen. You must then be patient. You have done good actions, everything is good. So wait for the fruit to ripen. And the fruit is of contentment, because you did something good. So that fruit you eat and share. Make others also be contented. And then if you perform such elevated actions, what will you become? A human being will become a deity. Baba said, you are performing elevated actions at this birth, and the next birth you reap the fruit. And you become Sri Lakshmi, Sri Narayan. What actions did they perform which gave them such a high fruit? They didn't perform any elevated actions in golden age. But in the previous life, in Sangam Yuga, they performed the elevated actions which gave them this fruit. And what are neutral actions? Because many questions, if we become deities, then why do we become humans again? We should remain deities forever. But no, this is karma, you know, field of karma. Because once we become deities, we are reaping that fruit. You know, eating, sowing a seed is also a karma. But eating the fruit is also karma. Eating the fruit is also karma. So deities are eating the fruit of the good karma they did in at Sangam Yuga. So what karmas do they do at that time? Those are called neutral actions. They are not sowing any more seed. They are just reaping. And even reaping is like withdrawing from your account. You know, you have credit and you have debit. So you credit, you put in your account. And then gradually you start removing debit account. You are removing. And one day it will happen that your account will become empty because you have removed all the money. So for two ages, golden age and silver age, we are reaping the fruit of our righteous actions we do at this time. Then what will happen? Then copper age comes. In Hindi we say dwapur, two parts. So one part is over, now the second part begins. When neutral actions are finished, now two types of karmas become. No more neutral actions, no more elevated actions, elevated actions, but two types of actions, pap and punya, charitable actions and sinful actions. Only these two karmas remain. People do a lot of charity. In golden age, no need to do charity because everyone is elevated, everyone has everything, no need to do charity. They don't want anything, so they don't need anything from anyone. Each one is just reaping the fruit of their righteous actions they did at Sangam Yuga. But copper age, yes, they start doing charitable actions, building temples, building churches, building, you know, guest houses, building, doing everything free for people, feeding the poor. So much happens. So these are charitable actions. And therefore, neutral actions are those which do not lead to any fruit, but are fruit themselves. So as sowing a seed in action, eating the fruit is also an action. But it has no result. It is only reaping. So neutral actions, and that is how two ages we are reaping the fruit of our righteous actions, and then from copper age onwards, unrighteous actions and charitable actions, sinful actions and charitable actions, and then ultimately those charitable actions also they are finished. You know how charitable actions are finished? When we are having ego. I did so much charity, I gave so much, I. So again, the reward of those charitable actions also becoming less and less because you did with ego. And secondly, because you did a charitable action and that person to whom you gave was not the right person. A drunkard has come and he's asking for money and you give him money. He will go and drink. What good he will make of that money you gave him in charity? He will only go and drink, and then maybe after drinking he'll go and kill somebody. So it's not just he who killed and that was a sinful action, but the one who gave him money, who provoked him, who encouraged him, because you gave him money, even you are affected. That is why we say, you know, some people say, I only eat meat. I don't kill an animal. Okay, killing an animal is a sin. But I don't kill. I just eat. You know, food comes in front of me, which is meat or beef or whatever. Why should I be called that I've committed a sin? But if I eat, it means somebody cooks for me. And if somebody cooks, it means there is also need for somebody to buy it. And if somebody buys, then therefore there's need for someone to sell it. And if someone sells it, then means there is need for somebody to kill the animal. So all are equally affected. It's not just I just eat. I don't kill the animal. But whether you are killing or you are selling, you are buying, you are cooking, you are eating, all are equally affected. You know, if I murder somebody, it's not just the murderer who is the sinful sinner, but the one who provoked him to murder, the one who encouraged him, the one who showed him the way, the one who gave him money for that, all are equally affected, all are equally sinners. So this is karma philosophy. And now at the end of Kali Yuga, no charitable actions. Everyone is committing only sinful actions. And now, in these sinful actions, we say 84 years, 5,000 years, we have taken this one birth. And then in karma philosophy, we also explain about rebirth. In that rebirth, maximum 84 and not 84 lakh births, because they say in the scriptures 8.4 million species, and every soul goes into all those species, and only one human birth. You know, that's what scriptures say, but it's not like that. We have only human birth, and we take only 84 births. So now what we have to do, final stage. Now what we have to do is, we have 63 births of sinful actions burden on our head. And that we have to finish. So how will we finish? We have to absolve sinful actions of past 63 births. And for that, not commit any sinful actions in the present. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to finish. No, we are already so much debt. We should not take more debts. When will we pay for those debts if I'm taking more and more debts? So don't commit any sinful action in the present. Don't do any action under the influence of body consciousness and ego and jealousy, hatred, all that. And then we also have to accumulate elevated actions for future 21 births. 63 births, debts to be cleared, and 21 births fruit to be put into the bank. So I have to earn so much. 63 births debts to clear, and 21 births fruit to earn. So how much I have to do? And for that, Baba says, what should you do? If you don't want to commit any sinful actions, let go. Forgive and forget and become a flying bird. Forgive and forget and forget. A bird holding onto a branch, and he's watching other birds flying. What will he do? Oh, I want to fly, I want to fly, I want to be a free bird. Then just open your clutches. Open your clutches of your hands. Just open and you can fly. You have wings. Nobody has forced you to hold the branch. Just remove, open up and fly. So how will you fly? Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Let God give the fruit. You don't have to, do anything. You don't have to do the reaction and hit back. No, let go and let God. So why have I come into this world? A very big question people ask. Why have I come into this world? What is the purpose of my life? They ask. It's not just minting money, money, money. That's not my purpose of life. It's not just making, buying land, buying houses. And what will I do? I will stay only in one house. I will sleep only on one bed. How much I need. So why have I come in this world? Baba gives the answer. One is, I'm an actor on this world drama stage. Remember this. I have to play my role in the best way possible so that others say, once more, once more. When I leave the body, it shouldn't be that somebody will say, good riddance to bad rubbish, good, he's gone. Nobody should say that for me. But it should be said that such a great person he was, now his place cannot be replaced by somebody else. A void is created because he's gone. So this is what Baba says. I have to play my role in the best way possible. And that's why Baba says you must take blessings of all. Blessings. Don't take curses of anybody. And secondly, why have I come into this world? I am an embodiment of peace, love and happiness, so I have to share these values through my thoughts, words and actions with others. That's why I have come into this world. I have to show my skill of sharing my values with others. And thirdly, why have I come into this world? I have come to glorify God. So my actions should be elevated in order to reveal Him. Baba says you have to glorify Baba, you have to reveal Baba. How will we reveal Baba? Only when we perform elevated actions. So this is how we understand karma philosophy. Thank you. Okay? Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti.